Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. How to win a spiritual warfare through prayer. Part 10, Praying Through the Bible, number 282. Our text is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. Holy Father God in heaven, we know that you're sitting on your throne. Lord Jesus, we know that you are sitting at his right hand. And we come before your throne of grace, your amazing throne of love and mercy. It is still very amazing to us that you would want to stoop down and love such wretched creatures as we are. We get glimpses, however, of your love when people that we think are very important, we come to find out they're very humble, and your love is flowing through them, and they will take the time out for you, for someone who is in need, and show your love to them. Your love is truly amazing, and I pray that you would continue to shed it abroad in the hearts of your believing Christians. And some who claim to be Christians, we pray that they would come to know you as Savior in a very real sense, so that they can have the capacity to experience your love and to let your love shine through them. It is a beautiful thing. And so, Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Crush and crucify our wicked flesh within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, practice self-control to do what we know we ought to do, whether we feel like it or not. And Holy Father God, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to the hearts of your people. For we are reminded by your holy word tonight or this afternoon that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You're the only one who can pull this off. And so we look to you. We pray for millions to hear the gospel, to be saved by the gospel, and by hearing the gospel. We pray for millions as Christians to repent of their sins and position themselves for true revival and renewing. And Lord, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven and bless this ministry and work with all of the money needed to pay all of our obligations, but also to give to and to support indigenous pastors and churches and evangelists around the globe who are calling out, crying out with the Macedonian call for help. We cast all care upon you, For Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace and with your joy and with the unction and the power of your Holy Spirit, because we cannot function without your unction. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a rather long series of messages entitled Praying Through the Bible. Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series, my beloved, is to encourage you and to motivate you and to challenge you, if you will, to simply pray to the God of the Bible. And may I lovingly say to you today that I know for a fact that prayer changes things. But maybe more importantly, prayer changes you. And that prayer makes a difference in your life. Prayer makes a difference in your relationship with God. Prayer makes a difference with your relationship in families. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer, yes, I know it sounds trite, but it is true. Prayer changes things. That was a very popular bumper sticker back in the 70s when I was growing up. I can see it now in my mind, driving down the road or riding down the road with my dad and his old beat-up Dodge, going from one hustle to the next. I would see the praying hands. I can see it right now. The praying hands to the left. And prayer changes things. Another bumper sticker that was popular was the family that prays together. Again, the praying hands. The family that prays together stays together. The family that prays together stays together in the praying hands. Back in those days, evidently, they didn't know what clip art was, but everybody used the same praying hands. This is not an exercise in futility to encourage you, to challenge you, to motivate you to pray. Because I know it makes a big difference. Now, are things going to be easy for you you're not going to have problems? No. In the beginning, you may have more problems. But I guarantee you that God will hear and answer your prayers if you confess your sins and repent and get your heart right with Him, and He will bless your life. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. We also have a book out, I was reminded of it this past week, titled The Prayer Motivator. We have a podcast that's available to you. I believe totaling near 1,000, over 1,000 podcasts for both of the podcasts. One is called the Prayer Motivator Devotional. The other one is called the Prayer Motivator Minute. They're all designed as a prayer prompt to encourage you to pray in times like these. So far, we have completed 281 messages in this series. This is message number 282, titled, How to Win at Spiritual Warfare Through Prayer, Part 10. So far, ladies and gentlemen, as we have considered the various types of prayer that we should avail ourselves of in spiritual warfare. For if you are a child of God, you are in spiritual warfare, whether you want to be or not. You're in a fight for your life and for the life of your family and your children, your grandchildren, and for your community and for the souls of men, whether you like it or not. You might as well engage. You might as well fight. Stop retreating to the woods. Stop trying to run away from it. The fight will follow you wherever you go. You can go out into a hut, out into the woods. Spiritual warfare and the devil and the demons of hell, they have satellites on you, and they know exactly where you are, and I assure you they will huff and puff and try to break down your little hut door to get at you. They'll bring the fight to you. They will take it to you. And the more you pray, the more they're going to take it to you. Spiritual warfare. We have discussed or shared the prayer of faith, and then the prayer of agreement, the power of praying together, the prayer of request or supplication, praying for yourself and yours and even others. And that leads us to the next form of prayer, the prayer of intercession, which we dealt on last week, and I think the week before. Today, my beloved, we will look at another type of prayer that should be included in all prayer, and that is the prayer of thanksgiving. Have you ever prayed and your heart was so full of gratitude that all you wanted to do was thank God for what He has done? I have shared recently in our White House family devotionals of the importance of being thankful for yesterdays. As I said this morning, I believe the Winans became famous on a song called Yesterday. I might be wrong, but if you can maestro, if you can find that song, Yesterday, by the Winans boys or the Winans family, I believe that's the song that put them on the map. I'm not sure. Titled Yesterday. And then, of course, we all know about the song by the Beatles called Yesterday. God gave those boys a gift. There's no doubt about it. They may have used it for wrong purposes and said the wrong things, but they came up with the gifts that God gave them, iconic songs and tunes that last till this day. Yesterday. So far away. I wish I could sing. I'll sing it for you. Yesterday. My point, my beloved, is yesterday. It's all about Thanksgiving. You need, that's right. You say, well, my blessings are new every morning. That's right, and that's good. But you're standing on blessings. Are you kidding me? You are standing on blessings. Your life is a series of yesterday blessings that are still, watch this, that are still living today. Don't forget the blessings of yesterday. Some of you say, wow, I just finally graduated from college and now I'm getting ready to go on to medical school. law school. Whew, boy, I'm glad I got through that. Don't forget when you were struggling in your freshman year. Don't forget when you were struggling in your third year and you failed a class twice that you had to repeat. And you prayed to God, you asked God to help you to pass the tests and to help you get over and to get out. You're living, listen to me very carefully, you're living on the answers to prayer and the blessings of yesterday. How dare we forget yesterday and the yesterday blessings. I know that you hear about from people how you ought not to dwell in the past and live in the past, but on the blessing side of things, you ought to visit yesterday and the yesterdays that God has blessed you to see. They are a part of the tapestry of your life today. Yesterdays are important. All of the miracles that God has blessed you with, you are to be thankful for every little blessing. Some of you Christians act like you have amnesia as to where you came from. Every now and then you need to visit yesterday to be an encouragement to somebody today. Can somebody say amen? I have a dear pastor friend who I had to call upon for some help. It's always a blessing when you got some Christian folk and friends that God has put in your life, that when you ask for some help, they don't make you feel any kind of way but loved and appreciated. Can somebody say amen? When they go back and they, for your sake, they visit back in the day. They visit their yesterdays when they were right back now in their multi-million dollar building and beautiful office, more beautiful than the president's office, and right back and say, brother, I have been where you're sitting. I know exactly what you're going through. What is he doing? He is encouraging the person based upon his yesterdays. At the same time, he's thanking God for what God did for him in his yesterdays that has made him be what he is and where he is today, to be a blessing to someone else who's going through his yesterdays. Y'all don't hear me. Amen, somebody. You might have to get that one by freight. That won't be coming by air. You're not a prime member. You won't be getting it in a day or two. God bless you. You get that one by train or by bus or by truck. And may I say to you, my beloved, that God is all about the yesterdays. All about the yesterdays. I don't know what you're talking about. Because you have to remember, everything is in front of our God. All the yesterdays, the present, which is not even the present, all of his present in him, and the future. Can somebody say amen right there? You can't tell it, but I'm getting ready to have a Baptist costal fit up in here. May God help us to remember the yesterdays. God is all about the yesterdays. If God was not about the yesterdays, Danae, he would not constantly call our attention to what he's already done. Throughout the Old Testament and even the New Testament, God points people back to what he's already done. God is not opening the Red Sea every day. God's not creating the world over again. He's not doing this every day. He's not causing his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross every day. One time, bam, one time, bam, one time, bam, one time. You better go back to that right there and remember that. You better recall that. Because God is not doing it again. Wrote his word one time, bam, that's it. No new revelations. Not necessary. Why would he do that when we have a problem doing what we have before us today? What? What are you talking about? A new revelation. We don't need a new revelation. And God knew we didn't need a new revelation because we are not doing the first. Can somebody say amen up in here? We're not doing the first revelation. What are you talking about? Yesterday one seemed so far away. Yesterday I believe in yesterday. Now they didn't know what they were singing, but they had something there. Contrary to how the world is rolling today, I believe in yesterdays. Because our yesterdays will encourage you today. Our yesterdays can inform and strengthen our faith today. God is all about the yesterdays. When I was young and lost, I was all about the future. I didn't care nothing about yesterdays. I didn't care nothing about the present. All about the future. Anything that dealt with the future, not Bible things, but anything that dealt with the future, I was all into it. I loved reading books about the future, reading what I could, magazine articles or whatever about the future, or hearing about the future. But after getting saved, December the 19th, 1979, I'm big on the past as well, because the past is important. Somebody said past is prologue. Your yesterdays are important. May God help you. Now watch this. You have some Christians who have been disobedient to God and have refused to repent, and they hate talking about yesterdays. They don't want to hear it. Because they have yesterdays filled with failure. Because they refused to obey God. But those people, those folk, who, yes, they may have had to get chastised by God, but even that is a powerful point in yesterday. For me, the chastisement from God that I received many years ago was like being born again. Because for the first time in my life, I learned the lesson of obedience and the blessing of obedience. Some people foolishly skip right on over that and never learn the lesson of obedience. And I believe that you can get to a certain point in your age and life that you just will not allow yourself to be moved by God to be obedient. You become stuck in your ways. But my life today, my beloved, is informed by my yesterdays when God took me through a period of chastisement. You say, preacher, did you like it back then? No, the Bible tells you that it's not anything you like. Was it painful, preacher? Yes, it was. But did it get my attention? Yes, it did. And anybody who knows me knows that I'll tell them, you don't want to get God started on you. The reason why God has blessed me to successfully raise my 7 children and to stay with my wife, my first and only wife, for 30 years, that's a miracle for us, is because of that yesterday when God took me to the woodshed and told me in no uncertain terms, son, you want to serve me your way, but you must serve me my way. I don't need your help. I need your humility, your obedience, and your availability and your faithfulness to me. And if you're not going to do it my way, I am not going to bless your life and bless your ministry in the way that I want to. And I'm not going to use you. Yesterday. So be thankful when you pray, my beloved. And what will you thank God for if you don't have any yesterdays? And that God has blessed you so tremendously. I hope to God that you, dear saints, can see the sunshine that I see in the yesterdays when God brought us through and God worked miracles for us and brought us through the floods. God, y'all don't hear me, brought us from a mighty long way. God literally brought us through fires and floods and loss and issues and problems and debt, days when the debts were high and the money was low and the cabinet was almost bare. God heard our prayers. God heard our cries yesterday. Yesterday. Be thankful, my beloved, for the monuments of yesterday. My God, my God. Some of you have forgotten those monuments. May God bless those who journal and keep records of what God has done. I told my family, y'all better record this. Oh, yes. I told my young family, when we were struggling, I said, you better keep journals, because God is getting ready to do something great. I said, you better record this so that you can remember from whence God has brought you. Can somebody say amen? Do you know that many of the festivals that the Jewish people have, they are festivals of remembrance of yesterday? When they were almost extinguished and God raised up a beautiful woman named Queen Esther, had her in place, had her uncle Mordecai in place. When Mordecai told her, like some preachers ought to tell Trump, don't forget, don't get up there and forget about your people. Because, let me tell you, when they start killing us, they're going to kill you too. So don't forget where you came from. Remember your yesterdays. And thank God for your yesterday. When you pray for today, pause a minute and thank God for your yesterdays. Can somebody say amen? I feel like singing Yesterday by the Beatles. Show me that. Let me hear that. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Testament writers considered Thanksgiving a part of regular prayer activity. Philippians 4:6 says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, your new requests, what you need right now, be made known unto God. Go ahead and pray for your new request. Go ahead. It's okay. But give God thanks for all of the old requests that he answered. All of the days you didn't think you were going to make it out of the day, and he blessed you to make it out of there with the right hand up in the air. In other words, while you are praying for new blessings and asking God for him to answer and to provide for your new needs, don't forget to make your requests, your new requests, with thanksgiving for the blessings that God bestowed upon you yesterday. Amen, somebody. Yesterday. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Did you know that the blessings of yesterday can inspire you and motivate you and bless you to get through today? Just remember back when God did something for you back in the day, yesterday. You don't have to look far in the back. You don't have to go back too far, because God has blessed you in all of your yesterdays. In other words, while you are praying, be mindful of the fact that you need to give God thanks as well. And may God deliver us from these Christians. God has blessed them through somebody. They don't thank God, nor do they thank the person. You wicked devil. Be thankful. Be a thankful person. God has used somebody to bless you. You know what? You know how they get their blessing back? They don't want the money back. They don't want the material stuff back. They get their blessing from how God has laid upon your heart to say thank you for letting God use them. And make them smile when you send them a note of thank you, an email of thank you, or you personally tell them thank you, publicly or privately, for yesterday. J. Hampton Keefley III writes, Scripture teaches us, both by illustration and by direct admonition, that prayer should generally be accompanied by or offered in a context, my God, help us, of thanksgiving. The reason is perhaps found in the very nature of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving turns our eyes from our present problems and ourselves to the Lord, that we might focus on Him and His sovereign grace and what He did for us yesterday. It's just not respectful to keep on asking for new blessings and you never pause to thank God for the old blessings, if you will, from yesterday. Amen, somebody. And we have some ignorant folk who think that that is all right. And yes, God will hear your new prayer. God, you know, that's God. I mean, I don't have that kind of love for you. I don't have that kind of grace for you. As one preacher, Brother Chan, said, that's crazy love. What? That's crazy love. To hear the prayers of unthankful, stiff-necked people who pray for blessings every day, never pause to thank God for the last 20 years, one blessing in the last 20 years. They act like they have amnesia. And what God has moved heaven and earth to answer your prayers for 20 years, and you always wanting something new like a child. You can go ahead and ask for it. He'll probably do it for you. I won't, but He will. That's crazy love, man. It's crazy grace. What? Are you kidding me? And God does it every day for unthankful devils. Excuse me. Unthankful people. Not happy about the millions of blessings that God has already bestowed upon them. Are you kidding me? And still asking for more and expect it. And then get an attitude if they don't get it. You can't thank God enough. You say, preacher, I hear you say oftentimes the millions of blessings. Man, what are you talking about? It's not no millions, man. Are you kidding me? Millions of blessings, people. Millions. There's millions of things that God does for you every day you don't even know anything about, man. Are you kidding me? Things happening in your body right now that if just what? Lord, these stiff-necked people don't hear me. If just one little thing went wrong, boy, you'll be dead, man. Girl, you'll be dead. Look at you. Somebody said, who you calling, boy? Who you calling? I'm calling you, boy and girl. That's who I'm calling. You're a boy and girl to God. You're just His children. If God allowed one, if He pulled one pinky off of you, you're drop dead. You got to be kidding me. Yesterday, you better thank God for yesterday. And I've said often, and you've heard me say it, if God never blessed us another day in our lives, we have enough to thank God for a million years or more. That's why eternity is going to be so long. We're going to be thanking God. You're going to see all what He did for you. How He brought you through. How He protected you. How He guided you. How He provided for you. How He protected you and blessed you. Yesterday, you're standing on yesterday's. So, beloved, it helps us to see life through the perspective of God's person, principles, promises, plan, provisions, and purposes. Then as this happens, this upward focus promotes faith. Amen, somebody. And courage. See, that's what remembering yesterdays will do for you. It will increase your faith. Oh yes, it will increase your courage. It will make you courageous in the face of the trying and painful situations that we all eventually face to one degree or another. Can somebody say amen? And so, beloved, it is important for you to remember the blessings of yesterday, because you're standing on those blessings. Stop being so mad as hell over nothing. Stop being bitter and resentful and angry over nothing, just because things are not going the way you want them to go. And remember what God has done for you to get you to this point in your life. And before you frown up and recoil back into your little self-pity party garbage, there are people dying in your city right now. There are children dying in your city, in your neighborhood, of the flu. And look at you, still sitting here. You have been in Walmart, you've been in Kroger's, you've been at the schoolhouse, you've been to the church house, and you're not dead. You're not even sneezing. Okay? Yesterday. Why is it not you? You're not no better than those children who died. I didn't say they were sick, man. They died of the doggone flu. Are you kidding me? And you're sitting here with your proud, stubborn self, thinking that you're all that in a bag of chips. And you're nothing without God. And if God pulled one little nail off of you, you would drop dead. And then have the audacity not only to not be thankful for the blessings of yesterday, but have the audacity to walk around here all stone-faced, mad as fire, ungrateful, unthankful, not only an ungrateful and unthankful spirit, not only not thanking God for the blessings of yesterday, but your face says you're unthankful. My God, help you. You don't appreciate what God has done for you. I enjoyed the hamburgers and french fries on yesterday. Well, God, what have you done for me lately? If you never eat another grain, you ought to thank God for that, what you have eaten. Amen, somebody. It is important to tell God thank you in the midst of spiritual warfare, perhaps more than at any other time. It is easy to complain and gripe and grumble when the fiery darts of the devil are whizzing towards you. But when we take time to thank God and to give Him praise, we are reminded of the eternal blessings that we have as children of God. Amen, somebody. We thank God that nothing can snatch us out of His hand. We thank God that though we may get knocked down from time to time, we are already guaranteed ultimate victory over the devil. And a good man may fall seven times, but he rises again. And that goes for a good woman. Can somebody say amen? Yesterday, how many times has God picked you off of the ground when the devil knocked you down? We can thank God that our eternal future is secure, and the devils on, and the devils is too. For us, the paradise of God in heaven, for him, the lake of fire. Can somebody say amen? So, beloved, in your spiritual warfare, remember to be thankful as you pray. And remember the yesterdays. And make sure you express that gratitude to God through prayer in the midst of warfare. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for once again showing up and showing out and speaking to our hearts from your holy word with nearly 70% of that message not even written down. I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you do and for how you take the foolishness of preaching and you transform people's lives. You change people's lives. You knock on the door of their hearts. And we thank you for the guarantee that your holy word will never come back void. It is an amazing thing what you have done. And the older I get in you, the more amazed I am at what you have done. Brother Chan is right. Holy Father God, I say respectfully, this is crazy love, crazy grace, crazy mercy. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all, and I thank you for it all. And as you know, most times I am about to burst. I just cannot take the power of your grace and the power that you infuse in me. The body is just, my body is about to crumble at your grace, your love, and your mercy. And it's just too much. And so I thank you, Holy Father God, for your goodness. I have never experienced this kind of love and grace and goodness and favor and mercy ever other than yours. It is mind-blowing. Thank you for all of the wonderful yesterdays, even though many days were very tough and dark. You were the light in it, and you brought us through. By your grace, by your might, and by your power, and you've done it for millions of others of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and help us to leave this place always praying, praying without ceasing, and always, as we're doing that, thanking you for all that you've already done, for all that you're already doing, and for what you will do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. My beloved, if you are with us today, and if you were to die today, where would you go? Where would you end up? Would it be heaven or would it be hell? If you said hell, then you need to listen up. If you're not sure, you need to listen up. Allow me to help you to understand the first prayer you need to pray is the sinner's prayer. But before we get into that, before we pray the sinner's prayer and ask God to save you and to come into your life, first please understand with me that you are a sinner, just as I am and all other people in the world. And that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. You don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You have already done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is a terrible place. According to Jesus Christ, it is a place where there's gnashing of teeth. The pain is so intense. It's a place of darkness. A darkness that you can feel, where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. It's a place of an agonizing memory. It's a place where you can't get one drop of water to cool your scorched tongue. And dear friend, that's how bad sin is. That's what Jesus Christ died for. He died for your ugly, stinking sins, and he died for my ugly, stinking sins, and for everybody else's. Sin is an ugly, stinking, sad business. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus said, and he was speaking about himself, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. You say, you don't know how bad I've sinned, whosoever. You don't know what I've done, whosoever. You don't know who I did it with, whosoever. I know where the bodies are, and I haven't told anybody, whosoever. I stole somebody's money and credit card and their identity, whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him, sin is an ugly business, should not perish. Perish where? In hell, where we all deserve, but have everlasting life. Is all by the grace of God. It's crazy grace. In the words of Brother Chan, it's crazy love, man. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is love. This is beyond measurement, my friend. You just need to humble yourself down, put your head down, and walk on into the light, man, and just accept the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of your sin, and keep on stepping on up into heaven. Keep on moving, man. Keep on moving. There's no need to try to talk about it or ask God, "How? Why do you love me?" It probably is too long of a story. I don't know. Just accept God's grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died. It was a very cruel death. They murdered Jesus for you and for me. In fact, we murdered Jesus. They beat him beyond recognition. Blood dripped from the top of his head throughout his body to the bottom of his feet. He was humiliated before the world. That's how ugly. You want to see how ugly sin is? That's how ugly it is. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, in the words of John the Baptist, took away the sins of the world by going through hell on the cross and going to hell for us. That's how ugly, that's how nasty, that's how stinking, that's how bad our sins are. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, took care of it. So don't worry about it. Trust Christ as your Savior. Pray and ask him to save your soul and walk in the light. Amen, somebody. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he will. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the hell that you're going to. For whosoever, there's that word whosoever again. That word whosoever means anybody at any time shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from eternal hell. Your soul is going to live somewhere forever. The soul cannot die. And you will either live in eternal hell with the devil because you have chosen to follow the devil and act like the devil and reject Jesus Christ, or you will live in heaven with God, receiving his mercy and his grace by trusting Christ as Savior. That's just the reality, folks. If this is not true, tell me why somebody would even write something like this. What's the purpose if it's not true? You tell me. So just go ahead on and trust Christ as Savior and ask him to save your soul, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, as we pray what I mentioned to you earlier, what is called the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken some of your Ten Commandments. And from what I understand from your holy word, if I break just a few of your Ten Commandments, I have broken all of your commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. For I am a whosoever. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. And help me to repent of my sins in return from my old sinful life, and to begin to follow you for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.